bonds any longer. And frankly, the bill that we passed in the House that funded government for another short term, it's not the long-term solution, but in the end, we've got to get the Senate to move on our 12 appropriations bills that the House has already sent over, which would give us full fiscal year funding for 2018. And so we can begin to work on 2019. But in the meantime, we wanted to get a measure over that funded government, kept our military readiness at a time when we're facing national security threats from a wide variety of countries and a wide variety of adversaries, kept our military funding moving forward and military readiness, and also funded the Children's Health Insurance Program, which affects over 300,000 Illinoisans. We funded it for 6 years in this bill. These are provisions that have been asked for by both parties in the past, and now we get to a point where the Senate and the Senate Democrats did not agree to accept many provisions in a funding package that they had once touted as their own. So we get here to where we are. It's different than the 2013 shutdown. Most of what is happening now is happening in the Senate because the House already acted, and we're cautiously waiting and cautiously optimistic that the senators can come together with a solution that's going to get the required 60 votes. I think it's ironic that the Democrat leaders in the Senate, including Senator Durbin from our home state, have decided to put up demands that are unrelated to the funding measure. And frankly, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's a year anniversary since President Trump was sworn into office, and it's more about messaging on their part rather than governing. And that's something that I'm going to continue to call out no matter which side does it. And that's where I think we're at today. So I am ready to just answer your questions. I can go on and on, but I don't want to be confused for a senator filibustering. So operator, go ahead and open it up.
And our first question comes from Greg Bishop. Your line is open.
Hey, Greg.
Congressman, how are you?
Great, buddy. How are you?
Good. All right. So what is the real impact that Illinois taxpayers
will feel? You cut out me. What is the real impact? And then you tailed off.
What is the real impact Illinois taxpayers are going to feel from this government shutdown in the short term?
Well, when you look at our National Guard, you look at our military readiness, the Scott Air Force Base in the largest employer in the Metro East, they're going to see an impact from a lack of federal funding that's going to impact their readiness because they are a government agency, because the military has to plan for circumstances. They are going to spend countless hours and time and energy and money planning for a long-term shutdown and what to do. And in the end, I don't think it was necessary. When you look at the Children's Health Insurance Program, we have heard Democrats for months tell us that we need to put a long-term solution on the table to reauthorize and fund CHIP that affects over 300,000 Illinoisans, children in our home state. We did that. We got a six-year funding measure reauthorizing CHIP, and the Democrats have said, no, it's not enough. And, you know, I just am frustrated because this bill was not loaded up. The bill that we passed out of the House was not loaded up with conservative priorities. It was not loaded up with extraneous issues and extraneous funding measures or even policy riders. This was a bill that was designed to get bipartisan support, and we have not seen that bipartisan support when it passed the House, nor when we saw the vote not get 60 votes in the Senate last night.
I still have the mic open. Just one off-topic question real quick. Can you address the memo that is circulating, I guess, people pushing for it to be released? Have you seen this memo? What's your concern?
Yeah, you cut out a little bit, but you're talking about the FISA memo? I read that memo. Before I even went down and read it, and I obviously in a top secret setting, I can't really discuss it, Greg, but I have signed a letter asking the process to begin to release that memo even before I read it. And I can't really comment on it, Greg, but I will tell you that there are a lot of folks that want to see that memo released, but there is a process that has to happen to get that done. And I know our leadership team is working on that process to do so. Nobody in leadership on our side or any is trying to hold that up. We just have to follow the law that was put forth decades ago, and the time constraints that entails too.
This has been called worse than Watergate. Is that something you agree with?
I cannot. I signed a non-disclosure agreement. I cannot discuss what was in the memo because I read it in a top secret setting. Greg, I have asked for the memo to be released so that everybody can see it. I have been somebody who wants to see more transparency in government. I have led efforts to make government spending, House spending, more transparent and searchable and sortable. Transparency is always best. So I wish I could tell you what was in the memo, but I cannot do that without violating my top secret clearance, security clearance.
Thank you,
sir. All right. Next questions.
Yes, the next question is from Charlie Schlenker. Your line is open.
Hey, Charlie.
How are you, Congressman?
Good, my friend. How are you?
Just fine. So 6 years of CHIP funding is a powerful incentive for some Democrats, but some Republicans are also a little leery that it didn't treat defense well enough and didn't give enough chronological time of defense spending. Some Democrats want DACA. Some Republicans don't want DACA.
Some Republicans want a DACA fix no matter where it's at.
Well, that's true. So where do you think the maneuvering is taking place in the Senate, and where can it happen to get the extra few votes needed?
Well, when you look at the House, Charlie, you're absolutely right. Some of our defense hawks, those many who serve on the Armed Services Committee, do not like short-term funding resolutions. It is detrimental to the military. The last short-term funding resolution that we passed a few weeks ago actually had specific anomalies for our military to continue to build ships, to continue to build our military readiness up. So it was less intrusive to our military readiness and to our national security. Yeah, they are not happy that the Senate has not passed a long-term funding strategy for our military for the entire year that we sent over to the Senate last year. They're not happy. I'm not happy about that either. But this is where it shows the difference between rhetoric and action. The Democrats say they want a 6-year funding authorization for CHIP. The Democrats say they want military readiness to be a priority, and they say they don't want a shutdown. But when it comes time to provide even a short-term boost that our military bit their tongue, swallowed their pride on, said, okay, one more short-term so that we can get to that long-term solution that the Democrats in the Senate have promised us, the Democrats were nowhere to be found when it came time to vote to not shut the government down, and especially when you look at the Senate. We put a bipartisan bill together that should have had bipartisan support, and now they're adding more and more non-related issues to the reasons why they are not voting to keep government open. And shutting down the government is even worse on the military than the short-term funding measure that we passed out of the House would have been. Now, you look at Senator Durbin. He's been hanging out over here on the House side. In 2013, he actually said it takes cowardice to allow a shutdown. That was September 30th of 2013. Now he's leading the filibuster that's stopping the Senate from actually passing this government funding mechanism and extending CHIP for 6 years, which is a Democratic priority. I thought, heck, it's an American priority. It's not just a partisan issue. Defending our military and funding our military is not just a Republican issue. It's a Democratic issue too. And those things are done in this bill. But it's going to take leadership out of Senator Durbin rather than coming over to the House side and trying to plot strategies and play games to prolong this government shutdown like I think he's doing.
So what's going to get the other five Republican senators and five more Democrats, and if they can get those, will it pass the House when it comes back?
I think, the answer is we already passed our bill. If they pass our bill, they don't need to send it back to the House. Send it to the president, get it signed, and get it done. I think the Senate needs to sit down, negotiate in good faith, and I frankly, again, I don't think it's a coincidence that this was done on the year anniversary of President Trump's inauguration. I think it was purposeful. I think it's about politics over putting the country first and stopping the government shutdown. And I think our own senator, Senator Durbin, is right in the middle of that.
Thank you. The next question is from Chuck Roush. Your line is open.
Hi, Congressman. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem, Chuck. Thanks for calling in.
So, you, by my count, I think this is your seventh year in Congress.
Fifth.
Is that correct?
I got elected in 12, so got sworn in 13. Starting my sixth.
Sixth, yeah. But yeah. The point being, have you ever, in your time in Congress, has Congress ever come close to regular order in passing the appropriations bills?
Yeah, this past year we did. We passed all 12.
You guys, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Congress.
Congress.
Well, we have. This is the closest we've come, and unfortunately, bottled up in the Senate. I have bipartisan scorn for the Senate and the Senate rules, and frankly, I honestly believe that when we're talking about spending measures, I honestly believe that Leader McConnell should only require a 51-vote majority. I mean, these are spending bills. These are finance bills. They shouldn't be caught up in filibuster politics. And if he wants to keep the filibuster when it comes to spending bills, then I'd make them actually filibuster. Threat of a filibuster is not what was envisioned by our forefathers and by those who set up our governing bodies in this nation to be offered as a threat only. A filibuster was you got to get on the floor and you got to read. You got to talk. And then when you're done, we're taking the vote.
Right. I heard you say earlier that you were cautiously waiting and cautiously optimistic. Is there something going on that you've heard that would lead to the latter part of that point?
They're still negotiating. Obviously, our leadership has talked to us. We're always optimistic that the Senate can strike a deal. It's very frustrating sometimes for us in the House to do our job and pass bills. And then get it caught up in the politics of the day, which seems, again, to be more about Democratic political messaging rather than good policies passing. The policies that we put forth in this short-term funding bill were the things that they asked for when I first got here in 2013 and 2014. It's long-term extension of programs like CHIP, making sure our military is funded and ready. These are the types of issues that should offer bipartisan support. And frankly, I think the Democrats are getting a lot of pressure right now because this shutdown is clearly different for me than it was in the 2013 shutdown. And I think the onus is on the Democrats, especially the Democrats in the Senate, to work to try and find a deal to get government open.
What have been your calls on it? Can you characterize the tone of the calls? Are they blaming you or are they blaming the Democrats? What's happening?
Well, I'll have to check with my team, but I can tell you I'm in my office today and we're open for business. I've got staff in here and the phones are not ringing much. I don't know if it's because it's a Saturday, but we're not getting close to the volume of calls on this issue as we are even some issues now that even other issues that have nothing to do with the government funding issue right now. We're probably getting more of those still.
Thank you, sir. The next question we have is from Dave Dahl. Your line is open.
Hey, David.
Congressman, good afternoon. Thanks for having the call.
Hey, thanks for being on.
Your last response to the last question, you read my mind, because that's just what I was going to ask you about blame. I'm tired of everybody blaming everybody else. I just want the government open. What's your message for someone who wants to blame everybody, not just one party and not just one person? I'm tired of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, that's why I've been equally critical of people in my own party, especially in the U.S. Senate. I want to see action over there. It's very frustrating. And this should be a bipartisan issue. Opening the government was something that I actually, you know, I went against my own party in 2013 and many members of my own party to ensure that government reopened. Getting into verbal discussions with even people in my leadership back then, saying we've got to end this government shutdown. This is not conducive to governing. This is not why I came to Washington. And it's very frustrating when you see people that you're able to see and to work with say one thing 4.5, 5 years ago and do the complete opposite now. That's frustrating to me. We gave them a good bill, a bill that did not have extraneous issues on it, funded priorities that are American priorities, not just Republican priorities, and they voted instead to shut the government down. That is wrong and should be fixed quickly.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Paul Wood. Your line is open.
Hi, Mr. Davis. How would you work with the Democrats to solve this problem?
Well, we already have. We put a bill together when it comes to 6-year funding reauthorization for CHIP that many Democrats have been championing for years, even before I got here. You know, we worked with the Democrats to ensure that we had specific military anomalies addressed in these short-term funding resolutions to make them bipartisan. And again, I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the time that leaders in the Democrat Party, both in the House and the Senate, chose to cause a shutdown. I think it's not coincidental that it's Donald Trump's year anniversary of being sworn in, and they want to put political messaging above good policy, funding our military, keeping children's health insurance program going for 300,000 Illinoisans, and making sure that government stays open.
Thank you, sir. We do have one more question in queue. Would you like to take that?
Sure.
All right. Chuck Roush, your line is open again.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, thanks. Just to follow up, Congressman, on that point you just made about the timing of this.
Yes.
Are you saying that your leadership got hoodwinked on the date on this?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm giving you my personal opinion.
They had to have known it was the anniversary on January 19th when they set the date in December.
Well, I would tell you, Chuck Schumer mentioned the anniversary date on his during his floor speech. So that's why I don't think it's coincidental. I don't think our leadership got hoodwinked. I think our leadership thought they put together a bill with bipartisan priorities that we get bipartisan support. And frankly, we're a little surprised, as I was, that we didn't get as much Democratic support as we had hoped. I mean, funding CHIP for 6 years. That's a huge priority of all of us, including the Democrats, and they voted against it. They voted no. They're the ones that shut down the government, and that is something that I think they now—they're the ones that I believe are taking this year anniversary and using it for political messaging, Chuck, rather than actually governing with us. And frankly, I don't think the Democrat leadership bargained in good faith yesterday. I don't think they're bargaining in good. I hope they're bargaining in good faith now, and I hope they've learned that this isn't something that can be taken lightly. Especially looking back at some of the comments they made during the last administration in the last shutdown.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Hey, thank you, everyone. Please reach out to Ashley if you've got any further questions. Happy to chat. As you can tell, I'm pretty frustrated by this process, and I just want to see things get done, and I'm I'm still going to remain cautiously optimistic. They will sooner rather than later. Take care, all.